Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
We've got a game seven, Daryl. First time since 2016, which we all know what happened in that year.
It only took 9 years. Get another best two words in sports. Game
That's what
seven.
They say. That is what they say about game sevens. Yes. 216-474-0092. Spencer German here with you. Daryl Ryder alongside. We're your entertainment here for the next 4 hours until 10 a.m. on a Friday. Ken and Lima both out, but we're looking to hold down the fort the best we can. And yeah, Daryl, listen, I was kind of surprised that the Pacers won that game last night, because not that I thought they were going to like roll over, but the Haliburton injury news was like really ominous coming into it. And I just kind of thought like, man, he might not be. And early on, like he looked like they didn't look good. Haliburton couldn't make a shot. He didn't look like he was himself. And then all of a sudden, they just started like knocking out a bunch of threes, and they blew them out. They blew them out. So we get a game seven on Sunday, which is exciting stuff, whether it's your team involved or not. And I know I'm looking forward to it.
They just needed to warm up the engine. That's all. No big deal.
Yeah.
Took them about 5 minutes into the game. And then Indiana just, they got hot, got on a roll. I said after the Thunder took game six,
yeah.
Or I'm sorry, game five. In OKC, I said, we're going to have a game seven. This thing's going. This is going the distance. My gut told me that Haliburton was going to give it a go. Thankfully, for the Pacers, they did run him out of the building, so Haliburton didn't have to play extended minutes. And once you get out there, the adrenaline takes over. And he did not, at times, look like a guy that was... really, really hampered by that injury. But he was able to gut it out. The Pacers did not take their foot off the gas. This is the time when you don't take the foot off the gas. You're allowed to do that in basketball. You're allowed to keep going and running it up. But yeah, we're going to get a game seven. Should be a lot of fun. That crowd in Oklahoma City Sunday night is going to be bananas, just like they were last night in Indianapolis. And I remember the game six crowd in 2016, Cavs Warriors, and my ears were ringing for like the day after because it was so loud in that building.
Yeah.
You could feel it shake. You could feel the stands shake at times. That's how loud it was. So a lot of fun to watch that last night. We'll see if the Pacers can pull off another comeback, because that's what it would be. I have enjoyed throughout these finals the surprise by many national media that this is what the Pacers do, because if you've actually paid attention to the NBA and not spent finals games on your phone playing solitaire, you would realize this is what the Indiana Pacers are about. They don't quit. They always come back on you. They're never really truly out of games, so... looking forward to Sunday night.
Well, and what's interesting with the Pacers this entire postseason, Daryl, has been like they have been sort of counted out every step of the way first series, it was kind of like a toss-up. Like, yeah, they could beat the Bucks, and then Dame gets hurt, and it's like, okay, they're probably going to win. But then I think most people were picking the Cavs to win. And then I think most people were picking the Knicks to win. And then I think everyone's picked the Thunder to win. And to your point, like, they really have just... They are almost on this Team of Destiny type run. And in some way, it's been... Even from our vantage point here in Cleveland, where we wanted to see the Cavs go on a deeper run than they did,
right.
It has been somewhat enjoyable to see a small market team sort of go on this magical run and everyone count them out and against them. I do wonder, like, to a degree, if even if the Pacers don't win the finals, like, is there any solace to be taken from the Pacers doing what they've done this postseason and reaching what is the absolute last game you could play in an NBA season? Like, is that something that Cavs fans should feel any better about? Like, I don't know if, like, fandom really works that way all the time. Like, I know we try to find ways to feel better about ourselves, and the big thing right now is like, well, hey, if they make some moves this offseason, they too could be the Indiana Pacers next year. But, like, is there anything that comes from, hey man, like, sometimes you just run to a team that's like a buzzsaw, and they were the better team in the series. They proved that they belonged on the stage. They're going to a game seven whether they win or lose, they made it to the last possible game you can play in a season. And so here we are with a game seven involving the Indiana Pacers. Does that make anybody feel any better? I don't know.
No, but it would mark the second straight year. If the Pacers pull this thing off, it would mark the second straight year that the Cavaliers obviously got bounced by the eventual NBA champions. But no, it wouldn't make you feel any better. It is wide open. I think that's the good news, right? Because when you go back to the LeBron 2.0 era after the Cavaliers won the championship in 2016, it was still Cavs, Warriors, and then everybody else in the NBA, right? The Eastern Conference was the LeBron Invitational for the better part of a decade. And then once Golden State got Kevin Durant, right, it was the Warriors and nobody else, right? And you had one team to fixate on to really try and take down. And when you look at the NBA landscape right now, Spencer, there's no one team. It's wide open. You've got the Knicks. You've got you have to throw Boston in there, but I think Boston's going to undergo some changes this offseason. Yeah. So
I saw a report, I think, yesterday about how they're in more of like a retool rather than a rebuild mode.
Right.
But even retooling suggests that there's going to be things that change with that
right.
team.
Now, obviously, the Pacers, Orlando with the move that they made last Sunday here. So it's wide open in the Eastern Conference. And I think that is what you can cling to if you're a Cavs fan. Not the fact that, okay, if the Pacers ultimately win the NBA championship, well, okay, you ran into the... No, it's wide open. There is no super team, no perennial powerhouse that has been holding everybody off and you're just waiting for them to come back to Earth. It's the fact that it is really wide open in the Eastern Conference and really the NBA here. I don't believe running it back is the right move for the Cavs. I have said that repeatedly. I think Kobe Altman needs to do something fairly significant to tweak this roster, because you can't have three straight years elimination from the playoffs in five games, and each of those 3 years the narrative being the same.
Yeah.
Not physically tough enough, not mentally tough enough. You know, if you were not, I don't know if scarred is the right word, but I'll use it anyway. If you were not scarred enough by what the Knicks did to you and then what the Celtics did to you, you're just not going to be. I don't think that a loss to the Pacers in five games is going to scar you enough to where all of a sudden now the playoffs come and you're whatever, motivated, all of a sudden physically tough, mentally tough.
So what, I don't know. You might be right about that, but what I do think is going to resonate, Daryl, is sort of what Donovan Mitchell alluded to at the end of the season, which was this idea that, like, the Cavs came in as this juggernaut team. They set the bar because of the regular season so high, and then to, like, fall on your face the way that they did. Like, they didn't even make that a competitive series. They didn't even get to, like, a game seven in that series. It was over before you knew it, and it was like, what the hell happened here? And yeah, injuries played a role, which I do want to talk about here in a second, but Like, I think that is scarring, at least to him, right? Like, the idea that, like, we put ourselves in a position to be the number one seed in the East, have home court, did everything we possibly could to win and have this great team, and we had this great system going on off like offensively. We were this rejuvenated, recreated offensive team. And so I do think it's scarring to at least Donovan Mitchell that you did all that and it was just for nothing. And so that's the kind of, I think, the hope is that that is something that scars you enough. But yeah, like you alluded to the changing landscape of the East. Some people Kobe Altman might see that as, well, hey, this is reason why we don't have to freak out and do a lot of things, because the East is going to change and all these teams are going to look different next year. And we're right in the thick of it with all these teams. And if the Celtics lose some guys, or if the Bucks lose Giannis, which it sounds like maybe they're more inclined to keep him now, like maybe we have an even better chance of winning in this conference and in advance of the NBA Finals. I actually think, like, because of the changing landscape of the Eastern Conference in particular, it's more reason to push the chips into the center of the table and go for it, because you can seize that opportunity. Like, you're only here so many times, right? Like, there's life cycles to all these teams. The Thunder have built this great thing, but like, they're talking about that team at some point. Like, they're going to have to pay all these guys. They're going to be a second apron team. They're going to have to figure out how to navigate all those things.
Yeah, but they got 150 draft picks. They're going to be fine.
They're the one team that can sort of figure it out and navigate it because they have so many damn draft picks. But,
and they can legit say, they blow this, right? I think you can say they blow it if you're up 3-2, two chances to close out and you don't do it. If the Thunder do, in fact, blow this, especially the Game 7 on your home floor, they can say, well, we're going to be back. Because they are so young, because they have the organizational assets, all these first-round picks, right? If there is a team that could trade for Giannis, it's them, right?
Because the Knicks have been interested, but you're right. Like
nobody has better assets to move around than the Oklahoma City Thunder do. So they can fall back on that.
Yeah.
But, you know, what happened to the Cavaliers this year reminded me a lot of what happened to the Browns in 2023. Because they go through the five quarterbacks to win 11 games, get to the playoffs. Joe Flacco turns into the pumpkin there on wild card weekend. The defense basically no-shows. The Texans put the boots to them. And when that game was over, it was like all of that for nothing. Went through all those trials and tribulations of that season. All the quarterbacks pulling Joe Flacco off a couch to dust him off. All of that only to go to Houston and just absolutely get annihilated by the Houston Texans. So, and you didn't, it wasn't like 2020, right? When they went to Kansas City in the division round after beating the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Granted, it was a friends and family night because of COVID, right? But still, they actually won in that building. They never went in Pittsburgh. Yeah. And they haven't won a regular season game in that stadium since, I think, 2003. So, but in 2020, this is what we were saying. Going to be back, right? Going to be back. Got the core.
There's no guarantee.
Organizations on the upswing here. Player two away from knocking off this, Super Bowl champs.
It wasn't for that damn fumble out of the end zone rule.
Oh, yeah. Rashard Higgins getting hit in the side of the head.
I hate that rule.
They didn't call the helmet to helmet.
That's right. There was that part of it too.
Yeah, they didn't call helmet to helmet there.
That play's going to scar us.
Went into him like a missile, and they kept the flag in the pocket. So, but you can't. The Cavs. I don't feel like you can feel that way because they don't have any assets. They're walled off with the second apron, right?
Yeah.
There's not a lot of flexibility for them. Now, Kobe Altman, and we're going to talk to Chris Fedor coming up at 9. Kobe Altman, he can still make moves, but he's going to be very restricted in the type of moves he can make.
And one of the biggest things I'm interested in asking Chris about, which I didn't get to the last time I talked to him, is this idea that Kobe has of developing and guys getting better. How much can they really bank on that? Like, how many more times can that be the excuse, I guess, is the thing that I want to know from Chris. So we'll pick his brain on those things. We got a lot to get to in that regard, including, Daryl, the Haliburton injury situation is one that I find fascinating because we know how people feel about this Cavs team and how they handled some of their injuries and certain guys playing and not. But we also know that it is a legitimate reason why they were not as competitive in that series, because DG was going through something and they lost DeAndre Hunter. The Browns gave up Travis Hunter.
You just did the same thing I do with Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah.
I go Taylor Gabriel. Remember? Remember Taylor Gabriel?
Yes. That's a throwback right there. At least mine are more like they're similar in the same like headlines, and they were almost both in Cleveland at the same time.
It's a deep cut by me.
Yeah, that is a deep cut. And Evan Mobley, and I do wonder like how much Kobe Altman's going to lean into this idea that like injuries were such a factor in this. That
they were the factor of the last two series.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think they beat the Celtics 100%. And I'm going to be honest with you, 100%, I don't know they beat the Pacers either.
I don't either. But that is going to be something that this organization looks long and hard at.
Okay, they might have gotten into six games instead and saying bye-bye in five.
And so the question from this becomes, is health the biggest thing that's preventing the Cavaliers from making a deep playoff run? It might not be quite as bad if the Pacers win the finals. It might soften the blow of the Cavaliers losing to them. But how Tyrese Haliburton has handled his injury situation has not helped the Cavaliers, because there is plenty of criticism thrown the way of these players here in Cleveland for the way that their injuries were sort of diagnosed and presented, and then the way that they didn't necessarily play through them. DG being chief among them. I honestly think, Daryl, on that front specifically, though, I think the organization hasn't really helped themselves the last couple of years with these injuries, because they care too much about, it seems like they really lean into the gamesmanship part of it. Yeah. Where they're like, we're going to keep this as big of a mystery as possible so that the other team thinks our guy is going to play.
And how's that working out for them?
Yeah, well, so much so that Rick Carlisle, I mean, you were there. Rick Carlisle going into game one of that series, he sat there and somebody asked him like, you know, how are you accounting for DG not playing or something like that? And he laughed and was like, come on, we all know he's playing. And then the lineups come out and all of a sudden we're like, oh, he's not playing. So, like, they tried, but it didn't matter. Pacers won game one anyway. So, I think, like, they need to sort of let that go. Because last year, it happened with Jarrett, right? It was presented as, well, hey, he has a rib contusion. And he's, you know, they treated it like a day-to-day thing where it was like, we'll see how he is tomorrow. We'll see how he is tomorrow. And then media day rolls around before this past season, and he's telling everybody, I had a piece of bone floating in my chest, and when I breathed, it hurt, and I couldn't do anything. Like, okay, well, that sounds a little more serious than just a contusion. And then the same thing happens with DG this year where it's like, it's a sprained toe, and we'll see how it goes. And then we find out he needs surgery on it. Like,
well, I said when it came out about the toe, I said, yeah, and I can't wait till we get to the summer and we find out that Darius Garland had surgery to repair the toe. We're going to find out it's broken or he tore like a bunch of ligaments in it or something like that. And then lo and behold, mid-June comes and voila, there's the email from the Cavaliers. Darius Garland has underwent successful surgery to repair the big toe. I'm just like, what are we doing? And if I'm the players of the Cavaliers, I'm furious at the organization because they were absolutely destroyed by fans as well as the media for being marshmallows and not playing through injury.
Yeah.
You know, DeAndre Hunter, the dislocated thumb, you know, popping that back on the shooting hand, had to kind of pop that back in. And with any type of a dislocation injury, you know, you need some time for things around there to heal so it doesn't just keep popping out on you. And he actually is lucky he didn't need surgery of any kind to tighten things up there. And then, of course, you know, Darius with that toe injury. So, yeah, the Cavalier organization, I think, gets a little cute with the injury designations. And I think it was Joe Varden from The Athletic in Kobe Altman's congratulations to us for winning 64 games press conference in the regular season and us for flaming out in five games once again in the postseason press conference. And, like, I think Kobe understood the question. But Kobe put on the tap dance shoes because he really did not want to go there. But I think that the Cavalier organization deserves a tremendous amount of blame for throwing their players under the bus when it comes to the severity of the injuries. And I understand because, you know, we cover the Browns and the NFL. They do this all the time with injuries, right? Where they don't want any information out there. You know, Kevin Stefanski in the offseason does not like answering injury questions because the team is not obligated to put out any type of an injury report, even during the season. Kevin Stefanski, when it comes to injuries, is extremely vague.
Right. They spent, what, 2 months when Deshaun had the first got injured, telling us like he's day to day, and then all of a sudden he played too soon. He came back too soon, right? And then he was hurt again. Like, they're very vague with it. I would love to know. I need somebody to figure this out. Someone needs to go back in time and find all the instances, like maybe just in the playoffs or something, when a team tried to play the gamesmanship game and like make it seem like somebody.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Somebody might play, but they weren't going to play.
Right.
And how much of an advantage that was for the team that was not going to have that player. Yeah. I want to know. I want to know what the numbers are. What's the record of the teams that do that? Because I just don't think that makes – like, what does it make a difference if you come out and say, DG's got a really bad toe injury, we honestly don't know when he's going to be back because it might need surgery. And then being vague about it, being like, well, he might play. Because the Pacers don't want him to play, frankly.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. He does – come back and play in game four in game five, and all of a sudden now he's a hero. Look at DG playing through a toe injury he's got to have surgery for in the offseason. But now instead of being the villain in this situation, he's now the hero.
But the team sets him up to be
ridiculed
because they like the way they frame these things, and then it just seems like, oh, he's not playing with a toe injury, like that's all it is, and he's not playing with a rib bruise, like that's what he has.
Well, Donovan Mitchell played with a couple of injuries in that Pacers series, including a calf injury,
similar to Halliburton,
not as severe, and he went off for 48, and it wasn't enough.
Right. So here's the thing, though, Daryl, and this is the point I want to kind of get to here. When I found out, when the Halliburton injury first came down, and it was looking like he might not even be able to play in Game 6, because there was some reporting that he was not going to be able to play. Sham Sharanya was talking pregame yesterday about the idea that if this was the regular season, this would be a multi-week thing where he's not playing for multiple weeks. And he talked about it himself, Tyrese did, that this is the same type of thing that Kevin Durant had a couple years back where he played on it in the playoffs, in the finals, and he tore his Achilles because of it. So it's a very serious thing that he's trying to play through, but he wants to play through it. He didn't want to miss this opportunity. He knows it's once in a lifetime. You're in the NBA finals. He said he'd live to regret it if he didn't at least try because he can walk. So, okay. But I guess to relate this all back to the Cavs and the injuries we were sort of alluding to here, Is the only thing really holding this team back from being in the same place the Pacers are in right now just injuries? Like, is that a fallback plan for this team to just look and be like, listen, if we stayed healthy, we think that we would be the team right now taking the Thunder to 7 games and competing for a championship and not the Indiana Pacers? Like, is that the biggest thing we think holding this team back right now? Or do you think it's bigger than that And that's why you believe they need to make some changes this offseason.
I don't believe that they can just rest on the, well, we were banged up.
It's not really a good plan, right?
Yeah, there's issues with Jared Allen. He's a great regular season player. He's a double-double machine in the regular season. And then he's Casper the Friendly Ghost in the postseason. The way the game is played now, the volume shooting from three, you don't need your traditional rim protectors anymore. Last night, the Pacers shot 42 three-pointers. The Thunder put up 30 of them, okay? Jarrett struggles going from the rim to the perimeter, defending, and then going back. You suck Jarrett out to the perimeter, and then you blow by him to get to the rim. Like, it's the easiest offensive strategy you can find. Then you've got the two small guard thing. And we talked about this yesterday. I was in for Andy Baskin with Jeff Phelps on Baskin and Phelps. When you look at those two players, if the Cavaliers were to trade Darius Garland, it's not an indictment on Darius Garland, or it's not an indictment on Donovan Mitchell, and it's not an indictment on the organization as far as, you know, making things work. Because it worked. But they're two small ball-dominant guards. Okay? You basically have got, I don't want to say the same player, but you've got similar skill sets next to each other in your backcourt.
Yeah.
Also similar size. And let's be honest about it. Darius is always getting banged up. His face is always running into elbows and arms and shoulders and knees and thighs and calves and whatever, right? And I think that the biggest impact they could make this offseason, I don't think you can get much for Jared Allen. Darius Garland is the guy you can move to get the impact.
Even with the injury, even with the surgery.
And again, I'm saying, I want to be very clear here. Darius Garland's an all-star. He's a phenomenal player. But if you move him, you can potentially get a piece you can put next to Donovan Mitchell that can help you win an NBA championship. The problem is, when Donovan Mitchell is scoring 40-plus in a game, the Cavaliers lose. That's absurd. When your best player, right, you got to put a scoring cap on your best player, because if he scores more than 40, you lose, right? The sweet spot for Donovan is between 25 points and 38 points, and the Cavs win. That's a problem. That's a supporting cast problem.
Yeah.
You can't lose when your main guy's going off, right?
Yeah. Well, and listen, I think there's another issue here with, like, just too many mouths to feed. There's only one basketball to go around. Evan Mobley's usage and getting him more involved. And it felt like in game five of that series, he was phenomenal. And then in the late in the game, the ball kind of got taken out of his hands, and it was all about Donovan and all that. And I get it. Like, in the moment, Donovan's trying to sort of will his team to victory. But there's questions there. I think, to your point, I think Jarrett's the piece that maybe needs to go the most, because in theory you put Evan at the five for like 25 minutes a night and you find somebody to sort of rotate with him to take the rest of the minutes and have him do some different things. But yeah,
I don't know if Jared's the guy that's got to go the most. I think the guy that's got to go the most is Isaac Okoro.
Well, I mean of the core four. I mean of the core four.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I was going to say, because I can't pay your defensive substitution at the end of a game, $11 million a year.
When it sounds like they're not having much luck moving him. So
yeah, gee, sort of I wonder to, why.
That sort of speaks to the fact that we've been talking about his jump shot being right for the last like 3 years, and he's finally fixed it, and then he still is as hot and cold as
come
can
be. Come on, JB, you loved him here in Cleveland. Do the Cavs
a
solid.
He is a defensive-minded guy, and that's JB's bread and butter
That's what I'm saying. Come on, JB, do the Cavs a solid. Let's go.
Trade for him, JB. Well, 216-474-9092, if you want to discuss whether or not injuries are the biggest thing preventing the Cavaliers from being in the same place the Pacers currently find themselves in, on the brink of a Game 7 coming up this weekend. Of course, Daryl, the topic that has become quite the controversial one in the city of Cleveland here the last couple of days.
It is sweeping the nation. We've got hot takes from all across the country. Folks are weighing
in. Yeah, Colin Cowherd is out.
He's out.
A couple weeks ago, Colin Cowherd was saying that Shador Sanders should be the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns based off of fictitious OTA stats. And now, 2 weeks later, because he got popped going a little too fast in a 60-mile-per-hour zone, now all of a sudden he's like, nope, this guy can't possibly be my starting quarterback. He's terrible at making decisions. He doesn't, he's just not equipped for the job. Apparently, that's a disqualifier for Colin Cowherd. Same way that wearing backwards hats, wasn't it Colin Cowherd who was on like a big tirade several years ago about guys wearing backwards hats? He doesn't like that or something?
Here's some Colin Cowherd for you.
When you fall to 144 in the draft and then try to match that number behind the wheel of a car, yeah, I don't think the same. You ignored signs with Manziel and Baker. And apparently, based on the traffic violation, Shador was avoiding some signs too. The ones that say stop. I feel differently today. I'm not as high on him. I'm not sure he's mature enough. Now I'm going to have to like Kenny Pickett.
I'm not going to lie.
The initial line was great. Is that what you're going to say?
No, well...
that was a good line.
It's a great clip. It's a great
That's
clip.
A pro's pro right there in that regard.
Great clip there.
FS1.
Yes.
He makes a very valid point when it comes to the Browns. Johnny Manziel.
Like ignoring the signs.
Yeah. Ignoring red flags. And one of my chief criticisms of Andrew Berry has always been his willingness to just blindly ignore red flags with guys. Now, Shador, I feel like Shador got a little bit of a bad rap leading up to the draft.
Yeah.
But the reason he got the bad rap is because he got bad advice. He didn't have an agent. He had people telling him he didn't need to do team interviews and things like that. They were in his ear, gassing him up, telling him how he's going to be a top five pick, this, that, and the other, where no one in the NFL, there was no world in that league in which anyone had him graded as a top five pick. And had he had representation, had he had better people around him providing him with information, he would have known, hey, I need to go do as many of these interviews with teams and sit downs as I possibly can so that I can improve my draft stock, because he was basically graded out as a second round pick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He might have, had he played the game the correct way leading up into the draft, he might have been a late round first pick, but he would have been an early round second pick. But what the team said was, well, if this is going to be his...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Approach to the draft process, and again, I'm not putting this all on Shador. I'm putting this on the supporting cast around him, and that's the approach to the draft process, where we're not recruiting you, we're interviewing you. You're interviewing for a job. Had he taken that approach, completely different.
For sure.
But teams looked at it and said, this is how it is now. What's it going to be like when we have the back, is the backup quarterback? Because right now, not a starter, right? The Browns have him number 4 on the depth chart right now. Okay. Yeah. There's a reason he's not gotten any first team reps. And this is my opinion. I don't think it's necessarily all football related. why he's gotten the... I think the Browns are deliberately slow rolling this thing because of his popularity, because everybody is all about Shadur, right? And they want to make sure that they put this kid in the best possible position to succeed on the field.
Yeah, I want to be clear too. I think to this point, Shadur has said and done just about all the right things. Like every time he's talked to the media, it's been like, I'm not out to prove people wrong. I'm just out to prove myself right. It's I'm embracing the opportunities I am getting. It's I'm just focused on football. You know, like he is blocking out a lot of the outside stuff. This is the first thing that's really sort of popped up on his radar that's like a concern. Now, you bring up like these other quarterbacks that had red flags. The biggest thing, my biggest response, I guess, to that is just I think when you talk red flags, the red flags with somebody like Johnny Manziel were a lot more serious than the red flags right now with Shadur Sanders, which are just two speeding tickets and not appearing in court for long, which you obviously don't know the background on.
But it starts somewhere.
You're right. I'm not saying that it can't be the start of something bad. And listen, the one thing, the biggest reason this is like a stupid thing to happen to Shadur Sanders is, at the end of the day, man, like, he's a fifth-round pick. And I know people get, there's a contingent of people that are in Shador's camp that love him, and they get mad when you call him a fifth-round pick. But the fact of the matter is, he is a fifth-round pick. He was taken by a team in the fifth round of the draft. And so if you're a fifth-round pick, those are players in general that are fighting for their lives anyway to make rosters. Now, in this situation, the Browns quarterback room is the island of misfit toys, as we know. So it's like he might not be fighting as hard as other fifth-round picks to make this team. And I think he still probably is going to make this team as things stand right now, because Andrew Beard doesn't usually move on from his draft picks in year one.
No.
But at the same time, understanding like what your situation is as a fifth-round pick, don't give the Browns extra reasons to not want you to be part of this roster. And that's the biggest thing that I point to and say, like, okay, this is why this was a silly thing to happen, and it's stupid. And the fact that there's a second one on there, yeah, maybe signs of a trend that is a little bit alarming and raises some red flags. But listen, like, look how this organization has handled Mike Hall Jr., second-round pick from last year, who was their top pick overall because they didn't have a first-rounder. Like, he gets involved in that domestic dispute. They were very mum on the entire thing. It was, hey, we'll let the legal process play out. And then what do you know? He's out there after his suspension's over playing games. The Deshaun Watson thing is the big... Like, I just have a problem standing on some moral high ground and being like, shame on Shadur Sanders for speeding a couple times when I've gotten speeding tickets myself. But also, when this is the organization that went and made a trade, three first-round picks, and invested so much of their future in a quarterback who was almost going to go, had a trial that almost went to federal court. Like, what are we talking about here? Like, so to me, I think anybody who's outraged by this and is screaming like, red flags, this is a problem. I'm like, guys, at the end of the day, if it ends up being a problem, they cut him and it costs them next to nothing because he's a fifth round pick on a rookie deal. If it's not a problem, you have this polarizing player who might be a really good quarterback. I think he's going to be a really good quarterback. And frankly, like, those red flags are not anywhere near as severe as some of the other red flags that this organization has signed up for recently. So I'm not going to sit here and like kill the guy over it. That's just my stance on it.
Yeah, I'm not about throwing stones at the same glass house I've lived in as well, though I've never gone 101 miles per hour on the freeway.
Fair.
The other thing too is, I don't know, maybe Myles Garrett, you know, he wants to be a leader. Here's your opportunity.
Yeah. You know, similar situation.
But Miles got nailed multiple times crossing the 100-mile-per-hour mark. He flipped a Porsche.
He, like, destroyed the Porsche.
Totaled the Porsche. Young lady got injured. He injured his shoulder. Like, Miles Garrett's a cautionary tale. You want to be a leader, Miles. Get Shadur Sanders on the phone. Say, hey, here's some photos. This is what happened to me. Take your foot off the gas. You don't need to go 101 down the freeway. We've all done the 80 and the 60 before, okay? And sometimes a little faster than that, depending on who's around you, and you got to go with the flow of traffic or else you get run off the road. You know, the freeways around here turn into the Autobahn at times. But, you know, like, just be smart. Like, that's what it's about. Be smart. You already got dinged in Medina County, which we found out after the fact, after this, this ticket, you know, came out. You'd already gotten pulled over for doing a 91, allegedly. And then now you get pulled over for doing 101 a couple of weeks later. Like, be smart about this. You're Shadur Sanders. If you wipe your nose, fair
people
or not,
it, yeah.
It's news. Like,
you're right.
It is. And again, I'm not trying to justify any type of coverage that he gets or whatever. I'm just saying, like, be self-aware. And it's something, you know, to your point about the effects on, you know, them slow rolling him out or whatever. You know, this is something I always tell young folks that are coming up in the business, okay? And that is make yourself indispensable. Never give your employer a reason to get rid of you.
Yeah. No, it's well said. And so along the lines of this conversation, talking about the speeding tickets and whether it's a big deal, little deal, whatever, Shador actually spoke on the subject for the first time. This was last night at David Njoku's celebrity softball game, not in a press conference setting, just kind of BSing with some people along the sidelines of the field there. Here's what he had to say about the situation.
I know I'll be violent, bro.
He's just a regular kid. Like, what's wrong with
him? I'm just a little boy.
He didn't do nothing wrong. I haven't seen anything wrong.
He's talking about overall in life. You know, I made some wrong choices personally, and I got owned up to him. I made some, you know, not great choices.
He's saying that because he's an accountable person.
I learned.
From the real people.
I learned.
That audio courtesy of Twitter account GucciCU, I think it is. So he said he can own up to it. He's going to learn from them. And that, to me, is the biggest thing. Does this go from here? Does he actually learn from it? Right now, it looks like he didn't learn from it because he got a speeding ticket a week before, and then he got another one a couple weeks
ago. Here's the problem I have with that audio. I do have problem with that audio. Because the guy next to him is like, it's not a big deal. Actually, a little bit of a big deal. To just completely act like the, you know, that this is being blown out of proportion. No. When you're driving 100 miles an hour, again, if you're 5, 10, 15, I'm even going to give you the 20 over the limit. Because we all been there. It's not a big deal. You're 41 miles per hour over the speed limit.
That's excessive.
That's getting excessive. And also, that's life-threatening dangerous because you spin out, whatever, you can take someone else out. Or you can take yourself out. So, again, I'm not trying to make too much of a big deal the speeding issue. Mine is the level of the speed.
For sure.
Where my issue comes in, the safety part of it. So to have someone around him, you know, just completely blowing the thing off like this. And, again, this goes back to surrounding yourself with good people, giving you good advice, okay? And I'm here to – this is the one thing that I'll get into Shador Sanders on. Surround yourself with the right people. Don't surround yourself with sycophants that are just there to hang on and, you know, enjoy the bag you're trying to grab. Okay? Surround yourself with good people. You need to surround yourself with people. Say, hey, Shador, what are you doing, bro? You have this opportunity. You fell to the fifth round. You thought you were going to be a top five pick in the draft. You know what the NFL thinks of you? They think you're a fifth round pick. They think you're immature. They think, you know, to motivate him to prove everybody wrong. Because there's no greater motivation than being able to tell someone, I told you so,
sure.
You were wrong, rubbing it in their face.
Well, and that's why, to me, again, it comes down to what happens from here. Does he actually learn from it? Does he correct this repetitive issue now that he's having? I think he will, but I guess that remains to be seen. And if it continues to be a problem, then it does become a bigger red flag for the organization.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.